Antifa and BLM running the streets in the major cities in America. And we've got the Democrat Party, who runs the major cities in America, giving in to their demands and agreeing to abolish police forces. Some have already done that. Some are thinking about how to do that. We have pseudo-martial law in the country, where governors have put a good portion of their citizens under essentially house arrest, saying that you can't go anywhere, you can't run a business, you can't peaceably assemble together unless you're Antifa or BLM. Let's be clear about that. Antifa, BLM, they get a pass. They can assemble and protest. Churches can't, businesses can't, restaurants can't. Not even schools can in a lot of places. The BLM protesters are called peaceful protesters, yet they use arson, murder, mayhem, and violence. The constitutional sort of right-wing people like me, who try to think I'm a rule-abiding guy, try to follow all the laws, we're fools. We're idiots. We're just, there's no other way to put this. We follow the rules that we think we're supposed to be following as good Americans. They don't follow the rules at all. They do whatever they want to do, and they know that, and they laugh at us. Part of their tactic is they demand that we follow the law, while they don't. And you know, as soon as you get a guy on the right skirting the law, not even breaking it, just skirting it. Oh, there's those right wing fanatics again, and CNN and the press picks it up right and left. They don't even have to do anything. They don't have to do one thing except have thoughts in their mind that maybe they want to defend the Constitution, and they're trotted out as violent extremists that need to be put down. Antifa, on the other hand, and BLM, they can go out there and they can commit arson, anarchy, revolt, and they get a pass by the press, and they are encouraged by the Democrat Party. They're given a pass by the Republican Party. Let's be clear here. The Republicans aren't innocent in this. They stand there with their thumbs in their mouth, not wondering what the heck they're doing. And there's a bunch of us concerned. We're worried. I don't know if we're worried anymore. I think we're past worried. We're just saying, here it is. This is it. This is what, you know, we've talked about for years. And we've got a Marxist revolution on our hands, right in our face. It's right in our face. And we got nothing to say. We got nothing to do. We don't know what to do. We don't know what to do. So I guess what I want to talk about a little bit is what to do. When does a government become illegitimate? If a government is established to protect our rights, which is what the U.S. government was established for under the Constitution of 1789, it was there to maintain a minimal set of, do a minimal set of things in order to preserve the liberty of the various states and the liberty of the individuals. That was it. It wasn't, you know, Big Mommy. It wasn't Big Daddy, and it certainly wasn't Big Bro, Big Brother. That's what it's morphed into. And it's become worse than that, because now you've got two different classes of people. Those who can break the law freely, anarchy, rioting, insurrection in the streets, and get a complete pass from the government. A complete pass. From the city governments, from the state governments, from the federal government. They get a pass. Insurrection and rioting and murder and arson in the cities, and they get a pass. Let's be clear about this. You and I go out there and we try to do something. I mean, I wrote about this. A man goes outside in front of his house, holds a gun. He can get arrested for brandishing, and they'll prosecute him because they can, and he's probably not going to resist, because he's probably generally a rule follower, like me. What do you do in the night? You're standing on your front porch at night having a cigarette. A couple guys pull up in a car. They get out, and they're lighting a Molotov cocktail. Or that's what you think it is. And they throw it. You think they're going to throw it at your house. You're going to shoot them? What if they never throw it and you shoot them? You're going to jail, buddy. You're going to jail. And they're just going to say, well, these innocent kids were coming by, and they, you know, and you become the enemy. Oh, you shot a couple black kids. You're it, baby. You're the news story of the hour. The governments are formed to protect us. Guys like me pay taxes to guys like them to protect guys like me. They're supposed to be protecting the law-abiding and the taxpayers, and it's been turned, it's topsy-turvy. They protect the anarchists, they protect the insurrectionists, or at best they stand down. Now, I'm not blaming the individual police officers. Let me be clear about that. There's mostly good, patriotic, law-abiding folks that would love to go and bash some schools out there. They're held back by the Democrat party masters that run their cities. Let's be clear about that. Those cops are good men and women, and they're have been held back. So, you know, at what point do you say, you know, a government has no more legitimacy? Well, if a government was formed to protect the rights enshrined, not granted by, but enshrined in the Bill of Rights, and it refuses to do that for the law-abiding, but will do that for the lawbreaker, does that government become illegitimate? If our government that's supposed to be of the people, by the people, and for the people no longer represents the average guy that's paying his taxes, that's abiding by the law, doing what they're supposed to be doing, when does that government become illegitimate? When is it no longer a legitimate government? That's what I want to know. That's what I want you to ask. And that question will be answered whether you want it to be answered or not. Not by me, but by facts on the ground. gun sales are exploding all over the United States. And it's not just right-wing white Republicans that are buying them. It's the Democrats. It's the left. It's non-white people. Because their government has already failed. And now it's boots on the ground time. People are saying, you know what, I'm going to vote with my feet, my money, and what I got in my hands. And it's clear, when the cops bail out, because they've been told to bail out, baby, it's you and God and whatever you got in your hands. And that's it. That's it. The natural order of government is not you've got this big form of government to provide for everybody and protect everybody. That's unnatural. And that is... That took a long, long time to build that stuff, and it's not, you strip everything away and all that goes away. Law of the jungle. That's the facts. That's the natural order. And the way the communists, the socialists, and the Marxists would do it, which is pretty much everybody in the government, is they have all power, and they will tell you what you can do, what you can't do, what you can say, what you can't say, what you can own, what you can't own, what you can do with what you own, because they want to have a good technical government, and they're going to make the world perfect, and they will acquire all means and power to do that. They will require you to register your life, your speech, everything. And now we have the technical ability to do it with the Googles and the FaceTimes and the Facebooks and the Twitters. It's all there. It's already there. They can monitor down to the smallest particle of society, the individual, and enforce things on them. They can say, "Oh, Fritz is a bad man. Let's shut down his Visa card. Let's shut down his bank account. Let's suspend his driver's license. Let's turn off his cell phone. Let's turn off his internet." I mean, it's all there. Technically, it's all there. You're a bad thinker. We don't want you working for XYZ company anymore. It's all there. The totalitarian system's there. It's all set up. And as we've gone along as good constitutional law-abiding people, they've already taken over the system. And we're sitting here wondering what's going to happen. So I have faith. I have faith in God. I have faith that there's a plan. But the Christians got to wake up. They got to wake up. And they got to figure this out. So what comes after, what's a post-constitutional government look like? Well, there's two answers. The natural answer is, and that's where we're at right now, is totalitarianism, where you can't think without their permission. And if you fail to get their permission and you speak out of line with what they want, they deplatform you. They turn off your Visa card. They make sure you don't have a job anymore. We're there. It's not coming. It's there. Churches, same thing. And this is why pastors are terrified. They're terrified of getting out in front of what they have permission to do. What do you think is going to happen to a church that where a preacher speaks like I'm speaking? What do you think is going to happen to that church? Firebomb, baby. Molotov cocktail, right now. Nazis and it'll be burned to the ground. We're there. It's not coming. It's there. There's a natural inclination for the patriot to want to restore a constitutional system of limited government. And, you know, I yearn for that too. I yearn for that too. But on the article I wrote that was posted this morning, Independence Day 2020, I have a picture of George Washington. And he says, you can't run a country without God and the Bible. He says, you can't. You cannot run a country without God and the Bible. And what the United States has tried to do is run a country without God and the Bible. That's been our experiment. That's been one of our experiments. We've tried to turn it into a modern Babel, which is not biblical, as in the Tower of Babel. Mix all kinds of people together, stir it up, and here's the stew that's looking good. No, it stinks. It doesn't work. And the other thing we've tried to do is strip the United States of America from all of its Christian heritage, all of its Christian legacy. When the Pilgrims and the Puritans came over to the United States in the 1600s, they were Christian men and women. They didn't need the Constitution of 1789. They were Christian men and women. This is where I'm going with this, folks. They had order. They had a government. The head of their government was Jesus Christ. They had a set of rules. It was in the Bible. It was called the Bible. They had moral guides, the Bible. They had a system of government. They had a system of laws. They had the Ten Commandments. And as they developed over the next couple centuries, call it 1620 to, you know, 1790, when it came the time to separate from England, for King George III, they had a Christian worldview, and they had a native, organic Christian understanding of how to relate to one another. All right. Fritz Berger, bloodandfaith.com, Independence Day 2020. Let's keep going. Like I said, a lot of people want to go back to the Constitution. And man, me too. Trust me. Believe me. Me too. Here's the problem. The government, the Constitution of the United States, was not made for anybody but a truly Christian and moral people. And our experiment in the last however many decades has been to strip out Christianity from America and to create an immoral people. An immoral people devoid of biblical knowledge and a biblical worldview. And so now we have a population that is largely has no idea what the Bible says. Even Christians have no idea what the Bible says, and that are largely immoral. And, you know, we would love to go back to sort of a libertine lifestyle where we can do what we want as long as we don't bother anybody and expect the government to take care of us. And that doesn't work. You know, I hate to tell you this, guys, but it doesn't work. You're either going to have a Christian, godly people that can live free of an oppressive totalitarian government, or you're not, and you're going to end up with what we've got now, and it's going to get worse. Let's talk about voting a little bit. Tell me in the Bible where a woman gets a vote. I lost a lot of you right there, didn't I? You know what Adam's first sin was? He listened to his wife. Go read it. Go read it. God says, why did you listen to that woman? That was his first mistake. First mistake wasn't even to eat the fruit. It was he listened to his wife. Adam's called to rule, not to be told what to do by a woman. Now, upon what basis do you have voting for women? Upon what basis do you have voting for men who can't take care of themselves? Men who can't even support themselves. Why do they get a vote? Why do they get a vote? Why do you have 25-year-old men that can't possibly support themselves? They're strung out on drugs. They're derelict. They're living on the... Why do they have a vote? Tell me why they have a vote. They shouldn't have a vote. Why do you have people living on welfare with a vote? Why do we have welfare? Why do we have welfare? Why do we have government systems of welfare? Because it deracinates people. It makes them completely dependent. It strips them of any dignity and ability to be a man and to be whole. And so they become little whiners. I'm just going to use a worse word. And they're just going to vote for somebody that's going to give them more, more, more. And we voted our way into this. And we're not going to vote our way out of this. The end result of this is exactly what we have. It's a totalitarian society. We're there. And if we're going to go back and we're going to rebuild something and we're going to do something, you can't make the same mistakes as we made before. The mistakes we made were to strip our society of Christian influences, to strip the schools from the knowledge of the Bible, to strip the Ten Commandments away from the wall, to strip prayer to Jesus Christ out of the schools. It's been to open up our doors and let diversity reign. And you bring in the Muslim, you enshrine all kinds of ungodly, evil, wicked practices, and you call it freedom. You deracinate him, and you take him from his land. You take him from strip him of power to govern his family. You strip him of power to protect his kith and kin, and then you wonder why we have a totalitarian society. That's part and parcel of it. You disempower the man who's supposed to lead and take care of his family. You disempower him. You strip him of that, and you make him dependent upon you. And he's not able to govern. He can't lead. He can't rule. He can't protect. He can't provide. He needs permission to provide. And if he gets outside of the lines, that ability to provide is taken away. And now you want to roll back the clock, 30, 40, 50 years, take your pick, and have this magical time when the Constitution rules. No, man. Nope. Ain't going to happen. You've got to rebuild that Christian foundation. You have to rebuild it. And to rebuild it, you need to understand what it is. I'm talking to Christians here, and I'm talking to white men. Your ancestors built something great in Europe. They built something great in North America. But they had a Christian worldview. And when you strip that away, and you strip out the Christian morality, you got nothing left but what we have today. This is the experiment. We've done the experiment. We know where it ends. So before you can go back and get a limited form of government like the Constitution was designed to be, that was the purpose of it, to limit the power of government, you've got to increase the power of the government at the most foundational and organic level, which is a man with his family. And that takes a lot of responsibility. It's a lot of work to govern a family, especially in an era, in a society where the man is deprecated and the family is deprecated, and the strength of a man to govern is deprecated and stripped away. That has to be replaced. It has to be built up. It has to be reinvigorated. It has to be made alive. Now, there's an opportunity for that if we take it. As these other forms of government are stripped away, there's an opportunity for men to step forward and lead and govern. But it's just an opportunity. It doesn't mean you're going to do it, white man. Step up. Step up. Govern yourself. Govern your wife. Govern your kids. Form alliances with your brothers. That's the only way this works. And talk to me in 5 or 10 years, and let's see if we can get that organic government from the individual, from the family, from the bloodlines, from the kith and kin, from the tribe, from that nation, that bloodline. And when you can govern yourselves on that, then let's come back and have a conversation about a constitution. Till then, you're dreaming. You're dreaming. And you're not going to nobody's going to fight for the Republican Party. Nobody's going to fight for libertarian ideals. You're going to need to fight for your blood. You need to fight for your right to stand before God on the judgment day and for him to say that you did the honorable thing. Because right now, man, we're devoid of that. There's too many of us that say, you know what, let me just pack in my stuff, try to figure out how to survive through these times. You can't. Look, the history of the world, man, the history of the world. Cuba, China, Russia, a lot of good men trying to figure this out. And they figured they'd hunker down on their farms in Cuba, hunker down on their farms in China, hunker down on their farms in Russia, the kulaks. What happens? They get wiped out by the millions. This is not an option. We're going to have to form new governments. And it's going to have to be on the most basic and organic level of an individual self-sufficient man that can take care of himself and provide for himself, of the man that can provide for and care for his family, of groups of brothers that can take care of each other, and the tribe grows from there. That has to work first. And you better step up and take care of your family, and you better protect them like Abraham did. It's got to be this organic. And that stuff works. Between that and prayer and trusting in God, that God can slay the giants. Caleb goes into the promised land, and everybody freaks out because we can't possibly do this. Caleb said, no, our God gave us this land. We can do it. You better have faith in God. You better return to the God of your ancestors. We can do this in the name of Jesus Christ. Short of that, it's game over, folks. It's game over. Happy Independence Day. Fritz Bergeron, bloodandfaith.com, 2020.